T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh yeah, bats got cooking yesterday. Scott Fransky right here on 94 WIP. Phils with the day off. They'll head down to Atlanta for a weekend series against the Braves. We'll talk with Ruben Amaro Jr. in 30 seconds, but let's give you a chance to win $1,000. Text the word WAGE to 72881. Text the word WAGE to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter will win $1,000. Another chance to win tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Every day on WIP, 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's all powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. One more time, WAGE to 72881. Good luck. Man, I wish the Phillies were playing tonight, Ike. I don't like these off days.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and he can't play every day.
Well, I know. I'm being selfish. Ruben Amaro Jr. joins us as he does every Thursday at 4 o'clock. What's up, Rube?
What's happening, guys? How's it going, Marks, Reese? What's going on, guys?
Well, we got a 5-1, first place, arguably hottest baseball team in the league, Rube.
It's going good, yeah.
Now they're playing very well, and then they're really pitching well. I mean, that much maligned bent bullpen from last year was things have turned around pretty significantly, and it shows in the record, and they're just playing, you know, good solid baseball right now.
Is that your I don't know if I want to, biggest takeaway is the right way to phrase it, or the most impressive thing over the first six games? Would you say you've observed with the team the bullpen, or would it be the starting rotation, or any particular player that surprised you a little bit in these first six games?
Just a combination of just the pitching in general. I mean, listen, the first time through the rotation with all five of those guys have kept them in the game, you know, and now Nola's pitched twice now, and he hasn't really been lights out yet.
Nope.
He did not pitch particularly well his last time out, just yesterday, and that is a game, you know, that's a sign of a good team, because that's a game that the Phillies could easily have lost. Kept them in the game. They didn't get the Mets did not get the big base hit they needed. There was a lot of traffic early in the game. Nola figured out a way to get through it with only one run, and really the bullpen just shut it down. And it's been a couple of times now just to keep them in the game so that the offense can get going. And really that was a game that you would think that they would lose because Nola just didn't pitch as well as you would expect. And then they came out on top and really swung the bats and gave them a chance to win, and they did it.
They did. What do you see with Nola? You know, he was good in his first start. Had the one bad pitch, give up the home run. But what did you see yesterday? Any cause for concern?
No concern. I think more than anything else, he just didn't. You know, he wasn't able to locate his pitches. He just wasn't as sharp. And there are times when he gets underneath the ball a little bit, and it is not as his sinker doesn't work as quite as well. And then he kind of goes east west instead of north south. In other words, to the plate. And I think that's where he gets in a little bit of trouble. But, you know, I fully expect him to bounce right back and pitch the way he can. I've just been impressed by Wheeler. I was impressed by Eflin. You know, both Moore and Anderson kept them in the games. They've done a nice job. And you just can't say enough about, you know, there's a couple of guys. You know, Sam Coonrod has really pitched well. He's kind of been one of the guys that people don't talk about a whole lot, but he's throwing like a 97, 98 mile an hour fastball up there, and he's locating and throwing strikes and getting people out, and he's done a nice job with some important innings of keeping the games close.
I think one of the most pleasant surprise, Rube, has been Reese Hoskins' hot start. And what are you noticing that he's doing that's different than what he struggled with last year that has him off to this hot start? And can it be sustained?
The big thing for him was, he had really lost his ability to use the entire field, which is something that he did very, very well as a young player coming up and had a lot of success driving the ball to the entire field. He got away from it a couple of years ago, and, you saw him trying to tweak it last spring. It was a weird spring. It was a, abbreviated spring, and then it was a stop and a start, and it was difficult for him to get back into that rhythm. But he worked through it, and towards the end of last year, he started to utilize the entire field again. And you could see that starting to happen in the second half, maybe the last 20 or so games of the 60-game schedule. And he's kind of carried that into this season. He's getting base hits to the right side. He's driving the ball consistently. When he gets a pitch he can handle, he's pulling it and keeping it fair instead of pulling it foul. He's utilizing the field much better, and he's staying on pitches better. And you know what? He is going to be in a very important part of that lineup, because if he's going well, the other guys will catch up. Bryce hasn't gotten hot yet. Real Muto's gotten some base hits, and Alec Bohm got a big home run the other day, but he's going to get hot. This is a very deep lineup, and Reese is an important part of that. If he can continue to stay in the middle of the field and use the other part of the field the way he has been, they're going to do some damage.
Yeah, and Reese also, Ruben, he hasn't walked yet this year, which is something that he was always a very high on-base percentage guy. He's much more aggressive at the plate. Instead of waiting for the pitches to come to him, it seems like he's going out there and he's trying to get a hit earlier in the at-bat.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, with the way the guys throw the ball in this day and age, when you get an opportunity to swing the bat and there's a pitch in the zone, you better take your shot at it. And I think the mentality is not just to swing at strikes, but to be aggressive on them early. And then what they've done as a team, I think, and this is a great credit to Joe Dillon and the approach their guys are taking, is that they are trying to battle to put the ball in play. Imagine that. Imagine that they're actually trying to put the ball in play instead of striking out. I mean, there's a lot of teams, and we've gone through this era that, they talk about the A swing and the B swing, right? The A swing is your swing up until you get two strikes and you kind of go to your B swing. Well, people have gotten away from the B swing completely. And you see that guys, particularly with the Phillies and the teams that have had success. I mean, Tampa Bay did it really well last year. The teams that have success, Houston has been doing it for a number of years. They go into a two-strike mode where they're trying to actually make good contact instead of just swinging out of their rear ends and hitting home runs. And you see that is going to be something that is an actual thing now. And the teams that are doing that well are going to have success. And you see the Phillies doing it pretty regularly right now.
Ruben Amaro Jr. joins us every Thursday at 4 o'clock. He's on the line right now. Ruben, when you played, when you were a player, you look at this Phillies bullpen, you look around the rest of Major League Baseball. If you're not throwing, if you don't have two, three guys that can throw 95, 96, 97, 98, yeah, your bullpen's not really anything. When you played, how many guys threw the ball near 100 miles an hour? It seems like every team has two, three, four of them.
Yeah, it was something. I mean, the average fastball back when I played was probably somewhere between 92 and 93. Now the average fastball is probably 94, 95. And in the pens, maybe even higher than that. I mean, and you make adjustments to that as a hitter eventually. When you see it enough, you make those adjustments. But it's pretty remarkable how hard they're throwing. But the bottom line is this. You have to throw the ball over the plate. And if you can do that as a team, it's one thing to throw hard. It's another thing to be able to locate. And if guys are locating, you're in trouble. As a hitting team, if you're laying off the stuff that's not strikes, then you're doing a nice job. And one of the things that, as I said before, one of the things that the Phillies are doing right now is that they're laying off, they're swinging generally at strikes. And their pitchers who have high velocity are generally throwing strikes. So you have that combination, you got a chance to win some games.
Ruben, with the bullpen, Dave Dombrowski's done a great job kind of remaking it. But Vince Velasquez, as we saw in the one start that he's been there, I guess he's their long guy, strikes out the side in the first inning and then walks the bases loaded and then walks a run in the second inning out there. How would you handle Vince Velasquez? He's making a decent chunk of money, $4 million, for being a guy that's almost an afterthought. What would your strategy be with him?
Yeah, the difficulty with Vince Velasquez and the kind of catch 22 is a guy that needs work. And at the same time, he also has to perform to, in order to, for him to work. I mean, Joe's not going to use him unless he's needed. I think that one of the things and the biggest issue for him, and he mentioned in his press conference afterwards, is that, you know, he felt a little uncomfortable and out of rhythm in the stretch. When you are a guy in the bullpen, you better be able to.
Yeah.
You better be able to throw out of the stretch. You better have your mechanics down, because that's when you're pitching your critical innings and your critical making your critical pitches is when you are in the stretch. And so there's two parts of it, and either you work out of the stretch all the time and get used to doing that all the time, or you figure out a way to get yourself in your rhythm out of the stretch, because if he's not and he can't, then that makes it very difficult. The problem with the Phillies situation with him is that they literally have nobody behind Chase Anderson and Moore to start games. Mm-hmm. They just don't have a guy to do it. They
right.
could maybe use Hale as an opener or something like that and then piggyback. But that's why Vince Velasquez is on the team. They have somebody who's got some length and has some durability, and his arm's pretty, you know, sound, and so they can bounce him around. Unfortunately, they don't have the depth, so it's hard. You know, everybody says, well, you know, if you're not pitching, you'll never get it. You know, you've got to get rid of him. Well, who are you going to replace him with? And so that's the issue. And so he's just going to have to figure out a way to straighten himself out and to pitch better in the stretch and to be able to, you know, find his mechanics when he gets lost like he did the other day.
Mm. 5-1 Phils in Atlanta for 3. Ruben, always appreciate it, man.
Hey, it was always a pleasure, guys. Good talking to you. Have a good rest of the week.
Yeah,
all
right,
Ruben. Take it easy,
talk
brother.
Talk to you next week. Yeah, like I heard him say Velasquez said the same thing about he couldn't get into a rhythm. He struggles out of the stretch. Mm. Dude, you're a reliever, right? Like, you're going to be coming on. You might be coming in games. I know he's the long reliever, but, I mean, even as a starting pitcher, isn't that where he's always struggled? When runners get on base, things snowball with Velasquez. When he's in a rhythm, he's good.
Yeah, I think I know he's been used in that role before, the long reliever thing under Gabe, but to be fair, he hasn't really been a bullpen guy.
At some point, isn't it just best to say, dude, you're a seventh inning guy, you're pitching one inning at a time, that's
right.
It. Learn to freaking pitch out of the stretch. Like, that's what I would do. I mean, we already see what happens. If you need him to pitch innings, then just wave the white flag. All right? Seriously.
Yeah,
I know a lot of times when the long reliever's coming in, they're doing mop-up duty because they need somebody to throw innings because
right.
the starter just got crushed.
Right.
So I guess he could fill that role just
right.
fine. But so could David Hale.
Yeah, listen, I don't think you're going to get anybody arguing on behalf of Vince Velasquez, but they've given him $4.5 million and he's here.
Yep.
Got to use him for something.
Jack, seventh.
Hell,
inning.
He'll be a pinch runner too. Don't worry.
He'd be good at that. Oh,
yeah,
good.
He's a good athlete.
Left fielder. Why can't they look at him and say, dude, you're pitching the sixth or seventh inning?
Well, because I don't think they trust him. I mean, like, the only time they've used him so far was in a game that he was like their last option to use him. I don't think, like, Girardi talked after the game how they're going to have to get innings out of him. I mean, it wouldn't indicate that they are. I mean, they have their
right.
five guys.
They would have to be losing by a bunch
yes.
of runs to get them in.
That's
right.
That's pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to wait till all of their bullpen guys weren't available to use Velasquez and Hale. It's going to be Kinsler, Brogdon, Alvarado,
yes.
Neris, and Bradley with Coonrod's pitching his way into the mix. So, yeah, I don't think – like, honestly, I think they're just trying to get through games when Velasquez is out.
Yeah, I mean, let's not
awesome.
Forget we hadn't seen him until the fifth game of the season.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No one else is available.
Right.
Or Hale. Both of them.
Right, yeah.
Both of them. All right, 215-592-9494. If you want to throw some Phillies conversation in.
It's a good gig to have, though, $4.5 million.
Yeah, I could suck for $4.5 million. Yeah, I mean, like – not Dombrowski's move, signed before Dombrowski
sure,
got.
Yes.
So he would not believe.
Doesn't
would,
count, doesn't count.
Hold on, so Ned Rice didn't do a good job in the interim there, Jack?
Ned Rice, I think he, no. No,
not with that. Not with that one he didn't.
That one he didn't. I was trying to think of the one move he made that was decent. But yes, with that move, no.
Not with that one he didn't, no. All right, back to the subject at hand. 3 weeks until the NFL draft. Where are you at? Where are you? What do you want them to do at 12? You're going to be able to get a shot and maybe the second, definitely the third, or most likely the third wide receiver. So we're talking about Devontae Smith. We're talking about Jaylen Waddle. They could be there at 12. Or do you go corner? Or do you go offensive line? Or will the Eagles go defensive end, Ikey?
I don't know. I think Pitts certainly is a top six pick. He won't get past Miami. Certainly won't get past Detroit. I think when I look at the top 10, the only teams that'll take wideouts or potentially take a wideout will probably be Miami, Cincinnati, and Detroit.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I don't see it. People have Chase going to Cincinnati, so I guess you have to include them.
Sure.
But then if that happens, that wouldn't bode well for us because you can mess around and get three straight receivers taken.
Yep.
Five, six, and seven.
You get the run of receivers because the team says, no, I need one. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if Detroit wants a wideout and Miami wants a wideout, and if Cincinnati takes Chase, then Waddle and Smith could go off the board right after Chase.
Could.
I mean, Detroit, we don't know what Detroit's going to take. Like, you don't know what. I mean, they lost Kenny Galladay. I think they lost Marvin. Did they lose Marvin Jones, too?
Yes.
I know. So
Marvin Jones, I forget where he signed, but he's gone.
So it's almost like a no-brainer that Detroit needs a wideout, right?
Yeah, it's a need, which is why the mock that we read, that Peter Schrager's mock has Detroit trading back and then still getting the wide receiver.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you could get that, but I'm just saying, those when you're looking at wide receivers potentially
Detroit seems
gone,
like a shoe-in to take a
yes,
receiver.
And yep. Miami, too.
Yep.
And if you're saying Cincinnati is going to take one, that's three.
Then you're not getting one of the guys, and then you're looking at a corner. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Picking at 12, you know, everything that happens in front of you is going to determine what you're doing at 12.
That determines what you can do.
When you're at six, you knew what you were going to get right there.
You set the table.
Yep.
Like, the Eagles could have been the first team to take a skill position guy.
All right. So, what do you want the Eagles to do at 12, 215-592-9494? Also, your all time Philly sport misses. So, we brought this up because I had the guy that works at my grocery store ran up to me and was like, they're going to miss out again, trading back, right? The Eagles in particular have had a lot of misses, mm-hmm. where they missed out on a player. We already got Paul Pierce. Sixers missed out on Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan by not trading Doc for Michael Jordan. But there's a lot of good ones out there. 215-592-9494. Bruce in D.C. Bruce, what's up?
Marks and Reese, what's going on? How you guys doing, man?
What's up, Brucey?
My man.
Hey, good talk as usual. Well, let's talk about this draft first. You know, I was pretty insistent on leaning more towards a wide receiver, but you know, I did some additional research and I'm on board with the cornerback thing. Definitely, I think the way the draft is falling, one of those three cornerbacks are going to be there to solidify our backfield. So, mm-hmm. One of those guys will be there, but then. And here's the reason why, is because of the second round, and I'm sure you all are familiar with Terrence Marshall. You know, this wide receiver from LSU. This dude is no joke. His time is a 4.38 40. He's faster than Waddle and Devontae Smith, and he's bigger mm-hmm. and doesn't have injury issues.
Yep.
So I think that. It's definitely a move, and I swear, man, my head is going to explode if I hear anything else about the Eagles drafting a linebacker or Penei Sewell. No, we need to get a cornerback, period.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, listen.
Emphatic, Bruce.
I like it, Bruce. I certainly like it. I like the Terrence Marshall Jr. Selection as well in the second round. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you walk away from here with either – Surtain or Horn along with Marshall Jr. I think people, if you walk away from here with an Alabama corner and an LSU receiver, people are going to be happy.
That's a great idea.
Yep.
Yeah, people are going to be
can't
happy.
Can't go wrong with that.
We'll
can't
walk away with a Big Ten tight end or Big Ten defensive end.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, he's technically a slot he's a slot receiver, but he's got outside receiver speed. You can
4.38
all over the field.
Terrence mm-hmm. Marshall, yeah. Yes. Yep. So all right, what's your miss?
Oh, man, my miss. Going back to 1985, got a good one for y'all. And staying with the Eagles, Kevin Allen over Jerry Rice. This
okay.
guy only played one year. He caught a charge for tested positive for cocaine. Only played 1 year, and I think it's like three picks later, Jerry Rice was chosen.
Was it three picks later?
It was like three or four
Man.
Picks later. Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's right, a bad Bruce. One. Jerry Rice, you miss out on the GOAT.
Kevin Allen went 9, Jerry Rice went 16 from New England.
That's far enough away.
Man. Elliott and Wilmington has a good one, which I never bring up. I'm going to add it to the repertoire. L.J. Smith instead of Jason Witten.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I heard that a few times.
Still playing? Well, not. Is he still playing? Well,
no.
He just retired. How about that?
Just retired.
Man, that was the 03 draft.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Tight end.
Yeah. And he played, yeah. Well, he took the year off and came back.
He
yeah.
did.
Did he do anything in Vegas?
Not a lot.
I don't remember seeing him.
He brought a winning culture.
He did not. Well,
from where?
No, he was like he was. No, he was a,
oh, well,
a backup
Waller,
tight end.
Waller's the tight end,
right?
Yeah, Waller's the guy. I'm just saying, did he do anything out there?
He was more like a Howard Cross than.
Well, he's always been slow.
Right. He just always got first downs and everything else. Last year, Jason Witten had 13 catches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good year.
13 yeah. catches for 69 yards. That's, did have two touchdowns.
Well, he stole a couple million.
Yeah.
Just to come back, just to get out of the booth.
Just so that wasn't his last thing like that he did. Because is he going back to the booth?
No, I don't think so.
Doesn't seem like it.
He might go to a studio, though.
Yeah, I don't think TV executives are knocking down the door to get Jason Witten back.
Well, and he jumped out. Did they fire him or did he bail?
He bailed.
He bailed because he was
went
under
back,
contract, right?
He went back because I think he knew the
well,
writing
of course,
on the wall.
Yeah, but no, they would have had to pay him. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't think he wanted to get fired from the job.
But they would have had to pay him if they fired him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wonder what his contract
Quit,
was.
Walked away from money.
I mean, we could. I mean, think
you
about
think
that.
Tony Romo. Okay, how bad he gets? You think he's walking away from $18 million a year?
No,
to come back and play for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Making more money doing that.
I think Witten was making $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, had to be to do Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. ESPN's like, oh, we got him. Yeah, we got our guy.
No, ESPN was like, you quit.
He's talking about
awesome. That means his contract is voided.
They were very happy. They were. Yeah.
San Francisco cannot. Kicked himself in the foot like that.
I'll tell you what, Tess, you saw Aaron Rodgers there. Blood on his elbow. Big old knee brace on. Hitting the wrist. It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Come on, man.
Listen, he did that with Joe Tessitore. It's not like they put him in a position to succeed with that windbag.
Wrapping out of his head.
That booger in there with him and everything, yeah, man. Booger's
that was when
rolling.
Booger was on the sideline.
Yeah, he's rolling up and down the sideline, hitting people.
They really thought they were.
That was Monday Night Football. What were they doing?
Wait, do you remember how mad Howard used to get at the booger mobile?
Yes.
Yeah, because it got in
his
way.
Sideline.
Yeah, of course. It is all about him. By the way, I mean, it's a shame.
I did see Booger on that thing at the link.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's rolling around. It's so stupid. And by the way, I mean, the perfect partner to work with Jason Witten in a booth just retired.
Oh.
Dick Stockton and Jason Witten would have been the best E-team on Fox in the world. Would have been awesome. Are you crazy?
You could have put him on the streaming device, man.
Man, that would have been great. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls 3 weeks from right now. NFL Draft. What do you want the Eagles to do at 12? There's going to be one of the wide receivers there. Want to go wide receiver, cornerback? We'll take your calls on that. Also, all-time Philly misses, but also coming up, a member of the Eagles coaching staff from last season has found a new home. What's up with that? We'll tell you about it coming up next. Mark Sinarisso on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, let's talk about Mark Shulis for a second. Because, listen, if you're looking for an engagement ring, an anniversary present, whatever the special occasion is, you're going to Mark's Jewelers. They really are the home team. They're a locally owned and operated business, a family business, and you're shopping in a safe, socially distant environment with the finest selection and pricing of diamond jewelry in the tri-state area. Mark's Jewelers is a 25,000 square foot showroom. The place is amazing, but it's also a local business. So if you Google Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, you're going to see their reviews, amazing five-star reviews, and they don't lie. I'm a Mark's Jewelers customer. You can stop in and see the official jeweler of you. That's Mark's Jewelers. Details online, marks-jewelers.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.